I don't think any leader in history has ever had anything this beautiful and this sincere that I know of. Any leader at all.
Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh.
We do not have an elder chosen this feast. You may be seated, men, if you want to. And thank you for all that praise to Yahweh. It's beautiful. You're certainly drinking the cup of Yahshua, eating his flesh. You're certainly doing it, and I feel safe in saying that the kingdom is just near, very near at hand right now because of it. The world is so tore up with war. It's so different from Yahweh's kingdom. And of course, it's going to be that same thing in the future when you have become leaders. You're proving yourselves now, as Scripture says, and you're proving yourselves worthy, sincere, fit for the kingdom. There's very, very few people here at this time that's not proving themselves. I'm supposed to say something about the butter and eggs. it seems like such an unworthy subject, but I can remember years ago when Rhea Shekinah started. She said there's nothing that'll substitute for butter, and I said we couldn't find any clean butter. Now this is just coming out of the world, and of course we quit eating butter. And then I was reading about something called ghee, which is purified butter. So we started making it, buying butter and making it. I still have some of it in jars. That was one of the first steps in coming out of the world. And now we have clean butter made with clean hands. Yahweh's health laws practice every inch of the way. And we have abundance of it for you, so you take back some of this when you go back to your houses. We also have eggs that are there's no bad cholesterol in them. The roosters run with the hens. The eggs are laid from contented chickens, so they're just about as perfect as you can get. Well, of course, that's Yahweh's way. Another way that I'm supposed to talk about this evening is the Yisrael Says program. Now, I know that some of you have tried it recently, and it's slowed down, there's a reason for that. We're working on it. We're adding more books, and the ones that are doing the work say that it'll only be just a few days now till they'll have it up and running back at full speed again. So use it all you can. You can get any question answered, any scriptural question answered with the Yisrael Says program. I'm always surprised when I say, ask a question and somebody looks it up, and I'll say, something in history or scriptures, and they'll say, well, you have about 10 pages written on it. and I can't even remember writing them, but I know I did. The Well, this is the work of Yahweh. If you turn over, Yeshua said something like this in Yochanan 6. I hope everyone has your book of Yahweh. But Yeshua said that same thing in Yochanan 6:29. Yochanan 6:29. He said, Yeshua answered and said to them, "This is the work of Yahweh, that you believe in him whom he has sent." And now, of course, that don't just mean an empty faith like the Baptist, Methodist, and the Churches of Christ and so forth, just a total stupidity. It means to get behind the work, to get in the work, believe into it. Yes, believe into it, become a part of it. And that butter situation, believe it or not, was part of it. It's turned out to be a restaurant now. a really great cafeteria that serves terrific, clean, tasty foods, as you experience. That's Yahweh's work, believing into it. Now, this is just coming out of the world, being a part of this work that lets us come out of the world and eat together at the house of Yahweh. Yeshua did that in the fields, and of course without shelter, and you know, on a couple or three occasions, the disciples went to the houses later on in their work while they were writing the history of Yeshua being with them and teaching them and the things he taught, and they'd already written these things, and then they had to put it together into a manuscript, which Yahweh saved and put in the book of Yahweh. He gathered this. He says he did. That's why I know that he did. He says he gathered it. He's the shepherd of these writings, and he gathered them and put them all as a collection in the book of Yahweh. Now, we know that it's complete. Complete, I mean, you can't add anything to it and you can't take anything away from it, as the last chapter in the book of Yahweh says. If you do, you throw the numbers off. That's right, you actually throw the numbers off. If you've read Number in Scripture by H.L. Bullinger, I believe it is, he shows that it's the Scripture is written as much as we've been bringing out here lately, totally by number. It's a pattern that Yahweh used to write those. And if you add anything to it or take away from it, you foul up the numbers, and it's not complete. But he has shepherded those and made them complete for us in this time period. And of course, Revelations was written in 96 AY, after the apostles was all dead, except for one, and that was Yochanan. And he wrote from 90 to 96 in prison. He was in prison in Rome. We have no records of his death. The only record we have is Revelations. That's the last book that he wrote in 96. Completed it, and then Yeshua said, "You can't change a thing in this." Well, of course, the tribe of Yada, who all the tribes praise, that's a religion, the religion of worshiping the gods, they did change it. They took out the name Yahweh and Yeshua, changed all the names of the prophets and apostles that were named after Yahweh. We got a King James version that I was brought up with. That little boy fishing at the fishing hole with they failed to put that King James version in that picture. They said they would later. But I had a King James version And Mother encouraged me to read it as much as I possibly could, which I did. I love reading the King James Version. And when I was still a very young boy, my brother-in-law was 10 years my senior, and I could put him to shame with the scriptures and make him so angry he'd throw his book, his Bible, against the wall and walk out. He was a preacher of a Free Will Baptist church. Free Will Baptist. Set a great example for him too. He didn't stay a preacher long. He quit his job at Tinkerfield Air Force Base, making pretty fine money there after he came out of the Air Force. He quit his job there and started preaching in the Free Will Baptist and became a Mason. And then he didn't stay a preacher long because he said he couldn't stand it. He said from the time he got up, and most of the time they'd wake him up, they'd be calling him to come fix the flat, come transport them somewhere, come do this, come do that for them. He said, I got fed up with it and I quit it. He didn't get one tenth of the calls that I get. And I take joy in serving Yahweh's people. when they say loving Abba did this for you, it kind of irks me a little. I haven't said anything, but I'm telling you, I didn't do this by myself. Every one of you did this, and you worked hard at it. So the loving house of Yahweh did this for you. Set it up. Get it for each other. Many have moved here this feast, and this is great. We'll take on your problems with you. We know you have problems, and we'll take them on with you. We'll help you to solve the problems. Get involved in the classes. They're free. The tuition is free if you vow to finish the course. It's free. All the classes are free. Food is free. This cookbook is going to be free. That's a blessing, I think. And the men's cookbook is already on the way. Somebody said they had a recipe for blackened eggs. I said, I've heard of blackened redfish. That was my first recipe for blackened redfish for the blackened recipes. And that was created in Louisiana by a man. I didn't talk to him, but I talked to his wife, and she gave me the recipe, but he is dead. But I said, I never heard of blackened eggs. I said, are they pretty tasty? And he said, I didn't know you had to eat them. That sounds about it. But we are going to have that recipe now, so if you want to try it out, that may be the first one in the book for the men. But we've already started on it. That was the first one to call and say, I've got this recipe. Hopefully we'll have those out by Pentecost. They're not only healthy recipes, but they're economical to fix, from what I understand. Very tasty and very healthy. But the people, back to the people who have moved here now, the number one reason you're here is to learn the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. Now, this is what China is asking for right now. I don't know if I'm pretty sure that this program has reached China. We have a lot of people there in China right now. We have people in North Korea right now that are listening to and contacting the House of Yahweh. In fact, just about every nation over there now is contacting the House. And where there's one that contacts the House, you know, there may be 1,000 or 10,000 that knows about it but has not contacted us, but will, because Yahweh says they're going to come to us. And of course, that's the job you're doing. That's the work that Yahweh says, believe into the work of He who is sent. If you reject the one sent, you reject Yahweh and you reject Yahshua. And how do you know who's sent? By prophecy. Just like the nuclear bomb. Yahweh dropped the bomb on you. And that's me. That's right. And many say I hit them with it every once in a while when they sin. And I will you too. You that have just moved here, you know, I'll guide you and teach you. But try to overcome. Don't try to cause problems. Try to fit in. Try to take your place in the work. And hopefully you can just fit right in and not even be noticed and do your job that is assigned to you. Take advantage of the counselors you have. If you had to buy a counselor to counsel you in your problems, which the 90% of the people in the world are 90 to 95%, I believe it is, they say needs counseling. They need help. And of course, the help is supposed to come from the schools, but the schools need help themselves. The teachers need help. And they readily admit they do and don't know how to handle it. And of course, when peaceful solution comes to their area, like Shaul and I, when we were in Israel and speaking to, I think there was 30-something teachers in Tel Aviv, and they were wanting the peaceful solution in every school in Israel. Well, they, of course, knew something about it already before we went there. Otherwise, they wouldn't have wanted it. But when we got there, they were wanting it at that time. So, and the lady, the head teacher of this group, she came and asked me if she could say a few words. And I said, of course. And she started talking how great this program was and how much it was needed in Israel and the problems it would solve. My job was already done. She did it for us. Remember that? Well, the work, it wasn't time. And of course, they're having to suffer, but they do remember this. And like Nora, who Yahshua visited and said, if you knew who you were talking to, then you would know that these scriptures are fulfilled. Well, these people too, they put it together. And of course, like the judges that are working with us here in the States, they have put it together too, and they know where it's coming from, who wrote it, so forth, who started the program. And they are amazed when they find out that someone is actually objecting to what Yisrael Hawkins teaches. Now, these are the judges of the land that are actually working with us and saying, and this is needed all over the world. Well, that's what they were saying in Israel, and these were school teachers. And they were the top school teachers of Israel, and meeting in one room with us in Tel Aviv and saying they wanted that throughout the whole land of Israel. Well, I love what I see here in all my sons and daughters. I love the whole feast. It went really well. You worked together well. The teaching never stopped day and night. The praises never stopped day and night. I started out on the first day with one man below my windows singing praises to Yahweh. The next day there was a quartet, and I looked out there one morning. I heard some racket and tin metal banging around and big bright lights shining, and I said, well, Deacon Tobia must be doing some repairs. Well, then I saw a wall going up, and then I saw women gathered on both on one side and men gathering on the other. And I opened the door window and I said, what in the world's going on out here? And I don't know. Michael told me, I don't know. He knew what he knew, but he didn't, he didn't want to say anything. And pretty soon they all started singing. Most beautiful song I think I've ever heard, except the ones that our children did today. That was outstanding. I knew you were going to turn out well. If you'll turn over with me to Isaiah 44, I believe it is. But I knew that this group, I knew that the others before this, I remember you, we had 37 people in the house at one time, and almost all of them left because I brought forth the scriptures on the holy garments. And that turned some people off. I know you can't imagine that now, but it did. And they didn't want to wear the kippah. The women didn't want to wear headscarves. The men didn't want to wear the tallit. They even said there's going to come in whether I liked it or not. I said, I don't want, I'm not going to let anyone come in here anymore and dishonor Yahshua and Yahweh in their own house. If they don't want to wear the holy garments, don't come. Well, they made the threat even. They said, we're coming in whether you like it or not. So I met them at the door, and they changed their minds. They were scared. They were sweating. They were shaking. I don't know why. All I did was just stand there. But they left. And of course, we were down to 13 people. When they left, we had 13 people left in the house. But we stood strong, and the house started growing again, and has grown steadily like the big oak tree. Well, Yahweh says here now in Isaiah 44, and we started teaching long about this time, right about this time, about the two witnesses, and this is about the two witnesses. Isaiah 44, in verse 3 says, for I will pour water upon him who is thirsty. This is the waters of the spiritual waters, of baptism, they say, and means also the coming through the sea, coming out from Egypt through the separated waters. Yahweh is going, and it means a protection upon the people. The word waters there, and it means so many things that I don't remember all of them now, but the waters that he pours upon his people here at the house is not like taking a cup of water and pouring it on you, but it's all the waters that you saw both righteousness and the evil waters of the nations, multitudes, and tongues who fight against the work of Yahweh. They're called Babylon, confusion. But Yahweh says, I will pour water upon him who is thirsty, who needs it, who wants it, who will choose it. All those words go into that sentence right there. If you repent, if you convert, then I will pour these waters upon you, upon he who thirsts for them. He who thirsts for these waters, Yahweh will feed them, give them drink from the two witnesses, from his two witnesses. And he's talking about people who train with the two witnesses here in verse 3. For I will pour water upon him who is thirsty, or them who are thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. This dry ground is what Yeshua spoke of, sowed in dry ground, desert area. They have no roots, so they quickly fall away. He gave a parable of this this statement right here. He said there's dry. They were formed in rocky, planted, sowed in rocky areas and dry desert areas. They had no root. They grew up without ever learning the Holy Scriptures. I'd forgotten about telling the news media. I think that was the first time I was interviewed when I told them that I knew years ago that this was the source of all knowledge, this book, and that I wanted to learn it. And that's the reason that I had spent my life studying it. They commented one time that they never saw me without a book of Yahweh in my hand or under my arm. Then I think Tana brought that out here at the in one of her speeches. Also, here at the House of Yahweh, when I'm driving, I have it on my dash. When I stop for any time and have to wait on anyone, I pull that book down and start reading. I get to the place where I study and write. I quickly, as quickly as I can, get to where I can answer my phone and write the articles or study the scripture. But that has gone on, and when that picture of the swimming pool, fishing hole, with the little boy with the pole in his hand, my interest was more on that King James Bible than it was catching a fish. And sometimes when I would get a fish on the line, I'd be reading, and I'd just push the pole aside and let it stay there till I got that verse finished. When you saw the other picture, now that was taken at the lake. I do like water. I like fishing. It's a pleasant atmosphere. But I like reading and studying. So I was combining some of that at one time, and they took a picture of it. But I don't have much time for the water anymore or the fishing anymore. But I still put in around 12 hours at the studying, answering the phone, solving problems. All of that is combined in this work that we're in this time period. So my day is pretty busy every day, but my children, their time is busy too. And they're in the classes. We have classes for everyone just about every day, I think. We have work for everyone where you can volunteer your time here. If you can work, we have sitting jobs, we have computer work, we have office work, cooking, sewing, you name it. Everything is done here at the House of Yahweh, including the milking and the gathering of the eggs and the feeding the chickens. I don't know if we now are as large as Eliyah and Elisha and their work, I think we are, but probably a little bit larger than they were. But he had quite a following, Yahweh said, showed that he did. But he says the dry ground, he's going to pour floods upon the dry ground, and we're pretty much flooding it right now with the messages going out. Sister Matthews told me that we were reaching, we were on every program now that you can possibly think of, that is actually shown where we can get on, and that we are being accepted. That article I told you about where I was challenging the religious leaders and the political leaders to admit that they're the cause of these problems. Well, that's up to right at 200,000 newspapers is running that. The last I looked, I think it's probably over that by now. But that was a few days, I think it was last sixth day when that news article was released, and is still climbing. So, and it's climbing pretty rapidly. So we're flooding the dry ground, and that's what it means right there. The dry ground are the people with these messages that are going out. You can turn your televisions on and not get us, but you can turn your televisions on and get us if you have the proper equipment and certainly your computers. You can get us live. You can get the Prophetic Word Show, the old tapes that was put out, the old shows, or the new ones. We're pretty much keeping these on the air as we make them. Well, so the dry ground is being watered right now. Yahweh is watering the dry ground with his teaching. And in the same way, he says, I will pour out my spirit. Hold your place right there and go back to Yochanan 6. Believe, read these and believe them. You're a fool if you don't, Yeshua said. If you don't believe it, you're a fool. But Yochanan 6 and verse 63, he says, it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The laws that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life everlasting. Now, this is the Savior doing the speaking here. It's not a mistranslation. It's translated perfectly right there. These laws is the spirit that comes down from heaven, from Yahweh, which are the inspiration of his prophets. And they all wrote about it. His apostles too, and the Savior taught them. He poured it on dry ground too, and poured it upon those who came to his meetings. The laws of Yahweh, the laws that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life everlasting. In Acts, you might want to add that as a footnote there, but Acts 7, 51 through 53 is speaking of those laws of life, the laws of life, and that's what every translation that I know of calls them, the laws of life, was given by Abel, who was the first house of Yahweh, and that's an established fact later on in the scriptures. He was the house of Yahweh. He was the tree of righteousness, the house of Yahweh. And Cain brought forth the God worship that you see today all over the world. The wars and fighting doesn't come from Yahweh. It comes from God worship. It's called Catholic. Catholic means universal. The apostle Shaul said they didn't want to retain Yahweh in their knowledge, so he gave them over to a reprobate mind to worship the host of heaven. Which Revelation says, Revelation 9:20, it's demons they're worshiping. And the sacrifices they sacrificed was sacrificed to demons, not to Yahweh. And that's in Acts, the 7th chapter. Well, back to Isaiah 44, speaking of the two witnesses, the two brothers from the same womb, the last being born in the same year the balm and the knowledge was increased, which is 1934. Yahweh says, talking about the use, the work. This is a work that he says, that Yahshua said, this is the work of Yahweh that you believe into. You put your life into this work. And if you do, you will have eternal life. It will be given to you. If you put, this is the work that you believe in the one sent. The one sent. You believe into that one sent. The work that one sent is doing. It's prophesied to do, which we're prophesied to bring forth the biggest work on earth, the biggest gathering on earth. We are going to do it. Yahweh says we're going to do it. Praise Yahweh. Well, I will pour out my spirit. That's the laws of Yahweh. Teach the laws of Yahweh. My spirit, Yahshua said, is the laws. They are spirit and they are life. That come down from Yahweh out of heaven. So you're born again, not of flesh and blood now. Get this now, you'll be asked this question. Not of flesh and blood, you're born from Yahweh out of heaven. How? By this teaching of his laws of righteousness. He's the one that created righteousness. We are the two witnesses that testify that he is the one that created righteousness. Right here in these chapters, talking about my children, and one thing I want to make clear, I do love my children very much. I'd do anything for any of you, but I don't put my biological children above any other child. In fact, I treat them all equally. And anything I do for one, I'll do for everyone. Everyone in the house. And I don't separate. I don't have favorites. No, I'll give you more work. If that's showing favor, you know, I'll give you plenty of that. Well, I will pour out my spirit upon your seed and my blessings upon your offspring. So that's Yahweh's promise to me. That's his promise to me right there. So I knew you were going to make it. I knew that you'd get to where that nothing would turn you away. And when I saw this these news articles that they were they were showing, you know, and I told them to, I gave them permission. I said, yeah, show them all. I want to see what they'll do when they see how evil they treated the house of Yahweh there and what liars they are and whether the people would believe their lies or whether they would actually say no. Well, sometimes, you know, you get caught up in lies. People will turn against you and they'll lie about you and other people will believe it. And if they would just check, you come check with me if you want to, but I'll guarantee you I won't break my vows. I will not break my vows to Yahweh. Not ever. You can if you want to. I don't force anyone to do anything, but I tell you, you're throwing away your life if you do. If Yahweh don't believe you, if he can't believe you, then you're not going to be in that kingdom. And you're just throwing it away. I'm not going to. I want to be in this kingdom forever. Praise Yahweh. Your seed, and this this seed upon my offspring. This is the promise here to me in verse 3. And you're here for that reason, brethren. You're here working with me. Yahweh calls you here to work with the one he sends, and he shows from Genesis to Revelations the one he sends. Well, now, in the very next chapter here, he shows you why you're here. In Isaiah 45, if you'll look at verse 4, he starts right there. He's speaking of the two witnesses that he was speaking of over here in chapter 44, two brothers from the same womb. And you go to chapter 45, verse 4, and he says, "For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel," that's the same ones he names over here, and says, "You are my witnesses." One of them is going to name himself Israel, which he said he is the one that did that. Yahweh said he's the one that did it. I know the circumstances, so I know that he brought it about. And I had it planned one way, he brought it another. And there were several people that knew this, that witnessed it, and they marveled at it also. But Yahweh said, "I'm the one that named you. You didn't know it was me, but I named you. I just knew that that was the only name, and I wanted to get my name changed because I thought it was a hindrance to the work." But the name Yisrael Bill Hawkins kept coming into my mind. And that's the way inspiration comes from Yahweh. And in dreams. "For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my chosen," chosen for a special work that you're involved in right now. This special work, my brother was not involved in this. This was assigned strictly to me to establish the house of Yahweh, establish the house of Yahweh, to build the house of Yahweh, and to take that message to all nations. All nations. "For Jacob, my servant's sake, Israel, my chosen, I called you by your name, Jacob, and I surnamed you Israel. I, though you did not recognize that it was me," and I didn't, "but I do now. I am Yahweh, and there is no other apart from me." Someone said your brother named you, hollered out. He did. But that brother that named me was only 1 year old. And that was the first name that was given through that boy. He couldn't even talk, but everyone heard him say it. I've been through this and told you about it many times. That was the name that Yahweh spoke through the bowels of my mother. He made mention of my name. That's what the prophet wrote of me. Well, he says, "I am Yahweh," and there, so notice, recognize that it was me. Then he says, "I am Yahweh, and there is no other apart from me," meaning no other power, no other being. You know, Christianity thinks there's a group of gods up there, three gods, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Ghost, I'm sorry. nothing holy about that ghost, I'm afraid. It's a war raging nations is what you see coming from it. But, and then all the lords and all the rabbis that's died that was loved by the people, you know, most of them actually taught the law. Some of them actually taught the law. Many of them did. And they were loved for teaching Yahweh's laws. But the places they were teaching, like the house of Yahweh, was controlled by the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, by a roving army that was trying to squash the name, saying it's too holy to pronounce. And they led the people into evil, into God worship, and they said, use the word Lord instead of the name Yahweh, as if they were bringing forth something righteous, the Catholic Church, in trying to explain this today, they let it be known that their forefathers, nobody catches that but us, they let it be known that our fathers, yes, they were the fathers of the Catholic Church. They were Catholic. Our fathers forewent pronouncing the name Yahweh out of honor to God. Well, see, nobody catches that. But Yahweh is not a God. And out of honor to their gods, they refuse to pronounce the name Yahweh. Let me show you something here quickly, because they're trying to pull a fast one on the people and deceive some more. Here it is. Pope Francis orders Vatican archives to reveal God's name. Well, see, that's deception in itself. It's not God's name. Yahweh wouldn't allow a God to have this name. He's saying that the name of God, instead of the name of the Creator, he could have put that. Now, everybody listen to me out there, throughout the world, please listen. Yahweh is not a God. He never identified himself as a God, and I'm going to show you in Scripture, there was no one with him when he created. No gods with him at all. That's what your Bible says, even the King James Version. And then they twist it around and mistranslated to make it look like it means something else. But he spells the name wrong, Y-A-W-E-H. So somebody typed this into Google, and here's the answer they got back. You see that error? Did you mean Yahweh? This is Google. So, Pope Francis, you can't pull the wool over everybody's eyes. They got Google to go to now. So they're catching the Catholic Church, and they're getting swamped with calls about the name Yahweh. I wonder why. Why would they be calling wanting to know what the Creator's name is? Well, of course, that's the work of you, the house of Yahweh. I surnamed you. This is now Isaiah 45, verse 4. I surnamed you, Israel, though you did not recognize that it was me. I am Yahweh, and there is no other apart from me. There is no God. There is no God. I will strengthen you with that knowledge. Though you did not recognize that it was me, I'm going to strengthen you with that knowledge. I kept wondering why I could see this stuff in the King James Version, and I'd start trying to explain it, and no one could understand it. And I could see it so clearly in the very first chapter of Genesis. I understood that there was a being there that these other beings were adversaries to. But no one else could see it, and they thought I was blaspheming because I said, no, there's something wrong with this. These gods are evil, I said. Well, here in verse 6 now, and Yahweh says, I'll strengthen you now with that knowledge. And he did. And now he's strengthening my seed, my children, which are you, everyone sitting here, who desires to be strengthened with this. He is strengthening you with this same knowledge, so that they may know from the rising of the sun, so others may know this. Others may know. I'm giving you this knowledge so others may know from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting. That's what we're doing now. We're reaching all our way around this world, all over this globe, to every congregation, every nation on earth now. that there is none beside me. We're strengthened with that knowledge that Yahweh alone created the heavens and the earth. Yes, he had a family. Hillel had children. He assigned them, gave them precious jobs, and they turned into being evil gods. They put themselves above, like you see the armies. When the fourth beast was formed, it wasn't to teach righteousness. That fourth beast was formed to kill people who would not, who would not follow. I was reading today where this slaughter that was taking place in Germany, in Europe, this great slaughter that Hitler was bringing about, was known by the United States and the UN for several years before that it was actually brought out. And the people started finding out the slaughter that was going on with Hitler killing people who used the name Yahweh, who owned a menorah, who kept the Sabbath, killing them, murdering them, just like the Roman army did in Israel when they came down and they was keeping the feast of Passover. 30,000 troops surrounded them and started killing. And of course, the people thought, they saw this police force and they thought, boy, them people must be really evil. You know, they're coming in to arrest them. Well, let's go on to the temple. Not even knowing that they'd changed the name from House of Yahweh to the word temple, refusing to pronounce the name. In honor of their gods, they were refusing to pronounce the name. Well, he says here in verse 6, so I've strengthened you with this knowledge that there was no gods help me in any way to create the heaven and the earth. There wasn't any gods. Neither will there be when his plan, his creative plan, is finished. There won't be any gods, including Hillel's children that left their first estate. If they left a god, that god would upset the whole apple cart. The apples would begin to rot and go to war. Yes, from one god, putting himself up, building himself an army, sending them out to collect forceful tribute that don't even belong to them, and killing, murdering anyone who refused. That is the evil of the gods. So Yahweh strengthens the two witnesses with this knowledge, Yaakov and Yisrael, the chosen, who's chosen to do a special job, so that they may know from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting that there is none beside me. That is a hard lesson to learn, brother. It's been there for 6,000 years. It's been in the book of Yahweh for as long as it's been printed, and yet no one can see it but the house of Yahweh. That gods are evil. Be evil like the gods. Even the King James Version has it. There is none beside me. I am Yahweh and there is no other. The only thing the gods have ever done is take what doesn't belong to them. That is their whole pattern of life. Yahweh said, I form the light. Did he say, we form the light? No, he said, I form the light. That's what he said in Genesis 2. I formed the light, I created darkness, I make I make peace. The peaceful solution, character education program, comes from Yahweh. I create destruction. I, Yahweh, will do all these things. Drop down, you heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Yes, they come from Yahweh. That is where you get your rebirth from Yahweh. You're born the Son of Man, but you can be reborn by Yahweh if you just practice these laws. Let the earth be released. Let salvation spring up. This is all coming in this time period. It was prophesied to come in this time period. No other time period could bring forth eternal life. You are going to be given eternal life, and you will be able to give to others eternal life. Yes, that's you. We have the scepter. I already showed you that. This scepter is what brings this eternal life. We have full power to do so. We will. Righteousness grow together. Spring up and let righteousness grow together. I, Yahweh, have created it. Well, I know I've kept you a long time, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And if you now, if you just want to extend this feast, today is Wednesday, I think, isn't it? Tuesday? Wednesday? Tuesday. Well, we could say it's Wednesday. I mean, I'm open for these things, you know. Believe me, I could stand up here and preach for months, and be glad to do so. But I don't know if this clock is right or not, but I think it is. It says 8:00. We got about 10 minutes till sunset. Those who want to stay, feel free to do so. I'm certainly never going to run you off. You know, if you want to stay to Sabbath, I'm all set to bring another sermon Sabbath. And great information. It's really pouring in now from all sources. So if you want to be here, I'll even finish this one. I didn't get anywhere with this one right now, but you got a few new things here that, I bring out old things, but I bring out a lot of new stuff when I'm bringing it. So this bit about the two witnesses and gods, that is the hardest lesson to teach right there. I could teach it from the King James Version, and I've got some King James scriptures that I do intend to show you, that where Yahweh actually showed me this many years ago, before we actually got the Book of Yahweh, which was in 1987. Is this my award? Okay. Yes. I finally graduated. I saw my children up here crying and grabbing these, and that was the most beautiful sight. and one of them was jumping up and down. I hope y'all saw all that. It was beautiful. Do we have any more songs or anything scheduled? Okay, prayer is the next thing. If you'll all stand, I'd like to have prayer with you and dismiss you. I'll dismiss you, but you don't have to go now. Don't think you have to go, ever. You don't even have to leave the house of Yahweh if you don't want to anymore. All lift your hands to Yahweh. Our Father in heaven, whose name is Yahweh, this is Israel Hawkins, Father, your last day's witness, coming to you through Yeshua, our high priest and king, over the house of Yahweh, coming before you, Father, along with my family, along with your family, Yahweh, called the house of Yahweh, the house that Yeshua, our high priest, built, the house that he formed, being the high priest over the house of Yahweh, and beholding, Father, your work in these last days, and managing it and seeing that it's done proper and according to your will. And we appreciate this, Father, and we beg for it. We beg that we have attention from you and Yeshua 24 hours a day, every second of the day. We want your inspiration. We want your guidance. We want to submit to you. We want your will to be done only in our lives. We praise you and thank you and ask this in Yeshua's name, that we do your will only. Father, we pray for your people only. We ask, Father, your guardian Malachim be put around them, that you protect them and guide them and direct them. Bring them to your house safely, Father. We're looking for the great gathering to take place. We know that it comes with the great burning that is also going to take place, but we know it's being formed now. We know that this work is reaching the world, reaching all the people, and we thank you for that. We know that we could not have done this by ourselves. We know that you had to guide this and set it up beforehand, before the United States was ever allowed to be discovered, before the world was created. We know that your plan was there with you to bring us to this point at this time and watch over us and watch us on as you show on the sea of glass, bringing this message forth that you said we would in this time period, manage it and inspiring it. We thank you, Father, for your people, from the youngest one to the oldest one in the house of Yahweh. We look forward to meeting everyone, the 2 billion even, and we know that one day we'll be able to see their faces, separate them and individually, and know everyone by his features and his actions. And like you do at this time, we will never meet a stranger. We will work with them and guide them throughout all eternity and give them jobs and watch them grow and develop into leadership to lead and guide the universe. We see all of this in Scripture, and we thank you for it. We're anxious, Father, to raise the dead and to teach them and judge them and honor them with jobs of that they look forward to in their lifetime also, many of them. We ask, Father, your protection upon all your people. We ask, Father, that you help them Father, we know the world is a filthy place, and I hate for anyone to even touch foot in it, but it seems like that it's necessary. Please bring it about to where it's not necessary and put it in the people's minds that it's not necessary and they can come out of the world. We bless you and praise you, Father, for this great feast that you gave us with you being present with us. We see your holiness, Father, in the people here. We know that you're here with us at this time. We thank you for that. We enjoyed the feast tremendously. Working and eating together, Father, to bring forth and teach righteousness and to grow in righteousness, knowledge and understanding and tolerance of one another and even love and wanting to be near and around one another. We thank you for all of this. We know that it's righteous and it comes from you and it's according to your laws, statutes, and judgments. I feel for those, Father, who have sinned at the feast, and I pray for their repentance and their conversion. We thank you again, Father, for all the joy that we shared here together. We ask your blessings upon everyone here in your house and those, Father, that you're calling abroad to come here and train, and we know that they'll be coming here. We see this in your holy word. It's as sure as the nuclear bombs that they now have available in this generation. We believe it, we see it, we believe it, and we thank you for it. We ask your blessings upon everyone here, Father. We bless you and praise you, give you thanks, and ask these things in Yeshua's name, all in Yeshua's name. Hallelujah, Yahweh. You think we could jar this ceiling one time? At the count of three, hallelujah, Yahweh, okay? One, two, three, hallelujah, Yahweh! Hey, that was great, marvelous. Praise Yahweh. I love you. Be righteous. Be righteous.